Greetings and welcome to worship at Peace Lutheran Church on a beautiful morning. I understand it's going to be somewhere in the mid-80s, so I'm saying, hey, we ought to worship outdoors today. But anyway, it's good for us to be here to experience Christ's presence and to offer our praise and thanksgiving to God. And today's focus is on the Holy Trinity. It's the tradition that following the day of Pentecost, the first Sunday after the Pentecost, is focused on the Trinity. And let me also say, it is not in the Bible. Even though, you know, we talk about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but there's no explicit text in the Bible about the Holy Trinity. So an opportunity for us to say, so what is all this about? So an opportunity for us to reflect on that.
Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madame Insight raising her voice? She's taken her stand at First and Main at the busiest intersection, right in the city square. Where the traffic is thickest, she shouts, "You, I'm talking to all of you, everyone out here on the streets. Listen, you idiots, learn good sense. You blockheads, shape up. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. God sovereignly made me, the first, the basic, before he did anything else. Was brought into being a long time ago, well before Earth got its start. I arrived at the scene before ocean. Yes, even before springs and rivers and lakes. Before mountains were sculpted and hills took shape, I was already there, newborn. Long before God stretched out Earth's horizons and tended to the minute details of soil and weather and set sky firmly in place, I was there. When he mapped and gave borders to wild ocean, built the vast vault of heaven, and installed the fountains that fed ocean, when he drew a boundary for sea, posted a sign that said, no trespassing, and then staked out Earth's foundations, I was right there with him, making sure everything fit. Day after day, I was there with my joyful applause, always enjoying his company. Delighted with the world of things and creatures, happily celebrating the human family. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of the truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen. Indeed, all out of all that I have done and said, he will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said, he takes from me and delivers to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, who meets us as our Creator, as Jesus Christ, our risen and living Savior, and as Holy Spirit, who brings us wisdom, peace, and relationships with God. Amen. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. On this Sunday, we remember that we meet, encounter, and relate to God in many ways. Simultaneously, we are people who try to describe and explain our experiences of God. The Trinity is a concept that we use to describe and explain God. We use words like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, or other words like Alpha and Omega, King of the Universe, Savior, Word, Rock of our Salvation, Light, Lord, Wisdom, and so forth. The list goes on and on and on in terms of all the words that we've used to describe our experience of God and to describe God. And all of these expressions are of the one God. When we consider and explore our experiences of God using the Trinity, we realize that God enters our lives and meets us in many and varied ways, and probably in more ways than we can count and categorize. The Trinity helps us to explain some of the ways we experience God. The Trinity helps us to discern and notice ways in which God comes to us, meets us, and relates to us. Simultaneously, the Trinity challenges the ways we expect to see and look for God. The Trinity encourages us to expand our view of God. The Trinity opens us to new and other experiences of God. Now, at the same time, God is obviously more than we can describe through the concept of the Trinity. Let me emphasize that. The Trinity is not one little packet that you could pack God in. It doesn't explain everything. There's more than just the Trinity to describe. No definition, no words, no description, no picture, no concept, no theology can fully express and explain God. Not even the Bible can fully contain God. I want to emphasize that. Okay? It's not all just packed in that Bible either. I wish it were to make life a little easier, but no. Even bigger than the Bible. God is beyond any human explanation or human concept. God enters our lives and relates to us in ways known and unknown to us. There are times when we can anticipate God's presence. At other times, we aren't sure how, when, or where we will encounter God. For example, there's this promise that God will be in bread and wine. So there, okay, we expect that. But then simultaneously, when we walk out the doors or maybe in the midst of this worship service, boom, what can happen? I mean, if you decide to sleep during the sermon and you dream, maybe that's the sermon you are to hear today. Think about that. Okay, God can break into and in our lives in more ways than we can count. God can even surprise us. The theologian J.B. Phillips wrote a book titled, get this, Your God is Too Small. Our tendency is to box God in and to limit God. We want God to fit our definitions and terms. Instead, we need to open ourselves to the many ways God can enter our lives and meet us. We need to be alert and ready to receive God, because God really wants to meet us where we are at, and there are times where God does the unexpected. Father Francis Case wrote in the April 1995 issue of Inside the Vatican, get that, a magazine, Inside the Vatican. But Father Francis Case wrote, God communicates with the world in, get this, infinite ways. Christians believe we have the fullness of God's revelation, but our conviction should also be characterized by humility. Our knowledge does not exhaust the infinity of God's manifestations. God is at work everywhere in the world, and we believe that we should also enter into dialogue everywhere in the world, even in different religions and cultures. There are times when we have to say that God is a mystery, or it is a mystery that we are to experience. So, in light of the reality that God meets us and connects with us in a wide variety of ways, trying to fully explain the Trinity is beyond the scope of any sermon. So I'm not going to get into one of these. All that. Instead, I want to focus on a couple of ways in which God relates to us and expand on this whole notion of Trinity. Have you noticed that God constantly wants to be in relationship with us? Sometimes we take God for granted at this point, but God really wants to be in relationship with every one of us. Okay, the Bible tells story after story of God's invitation to us to be in relationship, God's desire to be in relationship with us, and God constantly works to stay in relationship with us. For example, God created and formed Adam and Eve to have a relationship with us. And even when they fell short, God still maintained the relationship. Did God kill them off and end it all? No. The relationship continues. God established covenant after covenant to be in relationship and to define a relationship with a group of folks known as human beings and eventually with the Hebrews. Think about that. God called and even sent prophets. And what were the prophets to do? To call the people to return to God. Every time God sent prophets, it was at a time when people turned their backs on God. And God sent spokespersons to say, hey, repent, which means turn around, come back to God. And there are consequences if you don't come back to God. Or what are the wages of sin? Death. If you want life, turn to God. Okay? God sent, get this, and we know this story well, Jesus Christ. All right? To invite us into relationship and to reconcile us to God and to one another. How's that for the ultimate sacrifice? Send one son. Say, come home. Come back. Your sins are forgiven. I love you. God, again, wants to be in relationship with us. The work of the Holy Spirit. You know what one of the things that the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit is in the business of gathering people to form a community of recovering sinners known as the church. Again, relationships. That's what it's about. So we can have a relationship with God and with each other. Worship is offered so that we can meet and experience God, and God can renew God's relationship with us. That's why we do confession and forgiveness. That's why we do communion. That's why we baptize people. That's why we sing together. That's why we're two or three are gathered in Jesus' name. You know who's here? Jesus. God's relationship with us is always available. You know, do you think God abandons us when we don't notice God? No. We just have to be more attentive to that. Be attentive. Another way of saying this is that God loves us and nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. God constantly reaches out to us and is always in relationship with us. Now, along with being in relationship with us, I want to point out that God, get this, sends people out to share their experience of God and to tell God's story through their actions, words, and lives. Okay, think about that. God sends people out. Okay, so Abraham and Sarah were sent to a promised land, and on the way they meet a bunch of folks, right? Or Moses was sent to Egypt, or the Hebrews journeyed through the wilderness to a promised land, or the Exodus story is told and retold at Passover. And you know who the audience is for the Passover narrative? It's children. We pass it on. We pass the story on and on and on, and we get to be God's representatives or ambassadors. God called and sent prophets to speak for God and to tell God's story. Jesus was sent to express God's love and to reconcile us to God and to each other. The disciples went out into the world to share the story of Jesus with all the nations. God now sends us out into neighborhoods and to the people around us. God wants us to share our experiences of God and to tell God's story through our actions, words, and lives. God comes, communicates, and touches people through other people. Or we have a theological word for that. You know what that is? Incarnation. We get to be the face of God for other people. And if we look close enough, we can see the face of God in other people. We get to be Jesus for others. That's incarnation, to be the holy in the flesh. We get to be holy. I'm amazed what God can do when we love one another. And God's love, it can be expressed in a lot of different ways, whether it be a helping hand, sharing experiences, comforting a person, treat a person with dignity and respect, or visit a person who's alone or in suffering. Or we can simply listen. I am tired of a nation that doesn't listen to one another. Think about that. You know, we have government that people don't listen. I am tired of that. I even have colleagues who don't even listen to me. All right? So listen. And, you know, if you want to, you know, what? I forgot the psychologist says, you know, listening is the first step in love. If you really love someone, you listen. Okay? And when we offer and work for reconciliation, through us, God can connect with people and invite people into relationship. Through God's Holy Spirit, every one of us can be an incarnation of God's love for other people. Every one of us can be the face of Jesus for our neighbors and for the people we meet. We walk in the footsteps who have gone before us, and we all have long number of footsteps that we follow, because these are all the folks that make it possible for us to know God. I mean, we don't become followers of Jesus in a vacuum. There's no such thing as being a Christian alone. I get tired of that kind of crappy talk. Okay? It's really done in community. Does Jesus say, go out and do it by yourself? No, he gathered 12 disciples. You know, and what does the rest of the disciples and the apostles do? They go out and gather more people. You know, that we're in the business of sharing this story together and being community together. It's in the relationships. That's what Trinity is about, relationships. Through God offers the invitation to people to be in relationship with God, and through us, God expresses love for us and for all people. Now, when I consider and reflect on God's relationship with us and what God can do through us, I want to suggest that we are on an adventure with God. And I'm glad Kaya's here with us, because she's on an adventure. You get to go to Camp Calumet, don't you? And that's an adventure to share God at a church camp. Or how many of you have been to church camp? Okay, a number of us have had a church camp experience, and you know what an adventure that can be. Or it can be up and down, and well, all the things that happen in a church happens at camp, right? I mean, the kids go through all that stuff, the camp counselors go through all that stuff, all the adults go through all that stuff, and it all happens right there. But isn't that the adventure of it all? I mean, once we are in this relationship with Jesus Christ and we are in this relationship known as church, we are on an adventure together. And it all, you know, is described to us in the Bible. Again, think about it. The Bible is filled with stories of adventure. It's better than any comic book or graphic novel when you think about it, or any superhero movie. Think about it. You know, Abraham and Sarah's journey to the Promised Land. Have you read that fully and how messed up they got things at times on that journey, but yet they still made it to the Promised Land somehow, right? Or Jacob leaving home and his return home and his wrestling and, oh gosh, talk about another soap opera. And he doesn't get to marry the woman of his love. How's that? So it's not simply a rom-com when you talk about Jacob. Or Joseph being enslaved and being taken to Egypt, and then God somehow turns it into another adventure for Joseph, and how smart this guy is in dealing with all the politics of Egypt. Or the story of the Exodus, and we've had a number of movies on the Exodus already, but then the fun part is watching the Hebrews wander in the wilderness and they don't make it. So what does that mean for us? Or when the prophets are always sent, and you know, certain prophets, their lives get threatened, whether it be Jeremiah or Elijah, but that's an adventure. Or the disciples journeying with Jesus, and finally Paul's missionary journeys, and again, we can think of all a number of other Christians who are on the same adventure as we are with God. Like the followers of God and Jesus in the Bible, we too are on an adventure with God. Maybe the starting of interfaith food ministry is an adventure, and making it work and keep on continuing and growing it, that's an adventure. Or hospitality house, of which we are a part of, starting permanent supportive housing, that is an adventure. And who are going to be the people in this county who are going to say, no, we don't want these people in our neighborhood, and we have to be the ones that have to say, yes, we are the ones that have the responsibility to care for them. That is an adventure. Or the fact that we are looking ahead, and what's ahead for Peace Lutheran Church? And we know that we are excited about what's ahead because we're excited about being Christians together. And that is an adventure that we have embarked on in terms of looking at what's ahead of us. We are on an adventure with God, and with this God that's expressed in a simple concept known as, maybe I should say a complex concept known as Trinity, but it's all about relationships, the relationships that we have with God, with one another, and we are in this together. I think the Trinity can be best experienced and understood as an expression of God's relationship with us and us with God. We encounter and meet and experience God, and use all the words you want to use, and guess what? You'll never run out of words. God comes, meets us, and relates to us in many and more ways than we can describe. But we still need to describe. Do not deny yourself that responsibility. We all have to describe it. So use all the words that you can pull out of your hat to describe that experience. Through Trinity, God offers us an adventure where we can incarnate God and be the face of Jesus with the people we meet. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, and today we celebrate God's constant and never-failing relationship with every one of us, with all humanity, and with all the world. Amen.